Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Now I'm going to speak on name 804. Does anyone know Vishnu Sahasranam? What's name 804? Tough one. Difficult question. Well, it's difficult to say exactly which is name 804 because different commentators analyze the Sanskrit in different ways, and some take one long term as one name, some take it as two names, and in this way we get different numbering systems. So 804 is according to the numbering system given by Parashara Bhatta, who was the first Sri Vaishnava commentator. So I'm following that principally, and then also taking from other commentators, including our own Gaurya Vaishnav commentator, who is, anyone know, Gaurya Vaishnav? Baladev Vidyabhushan, very good. How do you know? Bhanu Swami Maharaj's book. He's given the Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentaries. Yeah, short. They're all short commentaries. So anyway, name 804 in the Vishnu Sahasranam, in the numbering system given by Parashara Bhatta, is Jayantaha, which is an easy name to understand. Some of the names are not so easy. I just gave a series of talks, name 801, on Arka. That's not such an easily understood name. I gave, how many talks did I give on Arka? 14, 15? 14 or 15 talks I gave on the name Arka. But Jayanta will just be one name, I presume. So it's very easy to understand what this name means. It means the conqueror who conquers. I think even in Tamil it must be there. Huh? Jai, if not in... Regularly it comes in Sanskrit. Jaya, Vijaya, Tatra Shriya Vijayo, wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna. Now, Parashara Bhatta, in commenting on this particular series of names that we're going through, is explaining this particular series of names in terms of Buddha avatar. No, actually he's gone beyond this, but it's like a flashback. That he conquers over the demons, that's very well known. Shastra is full of narrations. Vinashayata dushkritam. It's very well known that Vishnu comes to this world to conquer the demons. And some of the demons are very famous, such as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Probably the most famous is Ravan. And there are many, many, many. Agha, Baka, Putana, two brothers and one sister. Many, many, many. In Krishna Lila we find so many. But Parashara Bhatta explains this name, which is also in this sense connected to the next name, which is Sarva Vidjayi, where Vij in this case means Vidvan. He conquers over all the very intelligent people with very demoniac theories. So he's particularly given this idea that the asuras, they may be very intelligent in making many demoniac theories which even sound very spiritual. Now, he's not commenting particularly on Buddha Dev here, but Buddha Dev very much fits into that. Although we can't say that Buddha's teachings are actually spiritual. They're not spiritual. And any Buddhist will agree with you that the teachings of Buddha are not spiritual. Because Buddha, Dave taught anatmavad. There is no atma. There's no such thing as spirit. So to say that Buddha's teachings are spiritual is factually incorrect. But there are many demoniac teachings which seem to be very spiritual. And particularly Sri Madhvacharya has singled out Shankara's teachings. The influence of Shankara is very prominent here in Tamil Nadu. Coming out of Kanchi, which is just next door to Chennai. And over in the Sringeri in the west also, and everywhere, all throughout India, it's very prominent. And it is spiritual because he talks about Atma and Brahma. But it's a demoniac theory. It's very intellectually presented. But it doesn't make sense. I am you and you are me. Everything is one. It doesn't make sense. You are hungry. You come to me and say, I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat? Yeah, sure. And then you get some water and you start eating it. Can you give some to me? Yeah, yeah. And you eat it yourself because you and I are the same. It's not a practical idea. It's a very wrong idea. But if it's presented very intellectually, it might sound right. And to people who don't know, they just presume that someone else is very learned and they know what they're talking about. Most of us here, I presume, if we were shown pages and pages of calculations in physics to demonstrate subatomic theory, I don't think any one of us here would be able to follow it. Maybe there's someone here who could follow it. But if someone professes to be able to follow it, or can actually explain it, or can actually read the notation, and they can tell you something, and you're supposed to believe it. Just like a few years ago, there was a big hurrah in the scientific field, the discovery of bosons. You don't know what the discovery is. We just believe the scientists who said they discovered it. Almost every day in the newspapers or the online newspapers nowadays, we see something that says, new discovery, which shows the old theories were wrong. Almost every day we see the new discovery, in whatever field it may be, all different fields. And so science goes on like this. So Bhagavan, as Jayantaha, he comes and he gives the exact, straight, clear understanding. It's there in Bhagavad Gita, very clearly. Matah parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjayaha. There is no truth superior to me. It's very clear. You don't have to be a Sanskrit scholar. A little bit of Sanskrit knowledge. It's easy to follow. Mataha, than me. Parataram, superior to. Na anyat, no other. Kinchit, not even slightly. Asti, exists is Dhananjay. It's just addressing Arjuna. So it's easy to understand, but there are very intelligent scholars who are expert in twisting that to get some other meaning out of it. It's demoniac. Bhagavan comes to one of the reasons he comes is to set the record straight, especially in Bhagavad Gita. And he conquers. And everyone, they may say, I am God, I am God, I am God, but he does extraordinary activities which others cannot do. Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatyajasram. By his pastimes, he conquers all over the worlds. People may say, I am God. Maybe you met some people in the course of your life who tell you they are God. Sometimes if you go for book distribution, you'll go in, someone's living in some crummy little apartment, and you show them the book and say, no, I'm already God. Doesn't happen as much as it used to before we mass distributed Prabhupada's books. It used to be very common. But they're not God. They can't lift Govardhan Hill. They can criticize Krishna for dancing with so many gopis, but they can't do it. So Krishna conquers over the demons. Good things exist in this universe because of him, and bad things are there also. In one sense, because of him, because he gives the opportunity for people to misuse their little independence. But then when they misuse their little independence to declare themselves independent of him, he comes to set the record straight. He defeats false doctrines. Now, there may be many asuras or demons who appear to be very pious. They take the Vedic knowledge, which is meant for worshipping Krishna, Vaidaishya Sarvera Hameva Vedaha, which is meant for knowing Krishna, but they use it for impious purposes. This is the commentary that Parashara Bhatta gives. I'm expanding on it. An example is Shukracharya. By the power that he got by following the Vedic process, he imparted that power to Bali Maharaj and used that for conquering over the devas, who are supposed to. The devas have their function in the universe to maintain the universe on behalf of Vishnu. Of course, he can do it all himself, but he gives an opportunity to the devas. The devas, they also like to enjoy this world. The asuras, they also like to enjoy this world. But the difference is, Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tadviparyaya. The devas, they are devotees of Vishnu. They know they're subordinate to Vishnu, but the asuras are just the opposite. But they can use these powers for wrong purposes. We find Ravana was a great Vedic scholar. His son, Indrajit, he had great power. He knew how to perform yajnas to get great power, but he used it for the wrong reason. So, Krishna comes to stop all this rascaldom. Sometimes the demons, by following some process, they become very powerful. But Krishna comes to destroy them and to set the record straight. And the philosophical battle, that goes on and on, just like Ravana was killed, finished, dead. Hiranyakashipu was killed, finished, dead. But philosophically, you don't kill. You can, it'll come up again and again. The Vaishnava Acharyas have repeatedly refuted the teachings of Shankaracharya. But they still go on as if they hadn't been defeated. They go on and on and on. So it's an ongoing process. Glorification of Krishna cannot be complete within this material world without Parshanda Dalan, without subduing the atheists. Prem Pracharan or Parshanda Dalan, Dui Karje Avadhut Karen Brahman. Lord Nityananda wandered around in Bengal for two purposes, to preach about prema and to subdue the atheists. The two things have to go on side by side. Otherwise, the asuras will speak of prema also. There are many asuras in the supposed to be devotees of Vishnu, but they're Putana-type devotees. They come as if they want to serve Krishna, but their aim is to destroy him. They're covert Mayavadis posing as devotees. So we should understand that this Mayavad, or Advaitavad as it's better known in India in general, or anywhere in general, Mayavad being a strand of it, it's very dangerous. We find in Srila Prabhupada's books, there's so much refutation of this. More than once I've been asked to write a book refuting Advaitavad, but I say it's already there, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Again and again and again, because Krishna again and again, he refutes these ideas. Avajananti mang murha manushintanam ashritam. Again and again and again, Krishna, he rejects the wrong idea that he himself is an ordinary person. He himself has to come and establish, I'm not one of you. Arjuna, you and I have been friends, but now you should understand that you and I are categorically different. One in one sense, but different in another, and the difference should be understood. Unsurprisingly, Shankaracharya, who also gives a commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, doesn't follow this line. His commentary is generally very nice. You may have to tweak some of his understandings and not take it in the same way that his followers do. He is, after all, a Vaishnava, ultimately. But he gives the meaning, straightforward meaning, that Vishnu is the conqueror over enemies, and he causes the devas. When the devas are victorious over the demons, that is due to the help of Lord Vishnu. And there are many others also, that he caused the Pandavas to be victorious over the Kauravas. In one sense, it wasn't expected. It didn't seem that the Pandavas could conquer over the Kauravas because their armies were much less, And Bhishma and Drona, who were considered the best fighters, were on the Kaurava side. Actually, the best fighter was Krishna, but he wasn't going to fight. So it looked like a clear victory for the Kauravas. But Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janarsana. Victory is guaranteed for the Pandavas because Janardana, Krishna, is on their side. It was guaranteed. Now, the fact that Jayantaha, he's the conqueror, that gives the sense that he's a person, right? You can maybe make a robot. Now there are robots for everything. And you can have a robot fighting. And maybe the robot, you can have a robot in a boxing match. And then you can have the world champion boxer. And the robot will maybe defeat. It's hard to defeat a robot, right? I haven't tried. I don't plan to try either. I don't recommend any of you do. But it seems that if there was a robot boxer, it would be very difficult to defeat because he doesn't get injured, and even if you punch him in the head, probably he won't feel any pain. Some people, they want to attribute this something like this to Vishnu, that he's not a person, ultimately not a person, but he is a person. He intervenes on behalf of the devas because he likes them and they like him. And even the asuras, he doesn't dislike them, but yayata mang prapadyante tangs to taiva bhajami aham. Because they act as enemies, he acts as enemies towards them. And he acts for the benefit of the universe, whereas the asuras act against the benefit of the universe. So he has to quell them. He can do it. He doesn't have to personally come. Even with the Kauravas, sometimes people, they criticize Krishna that he made so many tricky ways to defeat the Kauravas. But he didn't need to do that. Just by his wish, they could all drop dead. But that's for his pastimes, to show that he's involved. He's not. You can have a robot which is fighting, but the robot doesn't have any feelings. Krishna, he's fighting with feeling. He went to attack Bhishma, breaking his own promise. Why? Because of his love for Arjuna. So Krishna fights, but it's not like the fighting of some gunda, some low-class villain. But Krishna fights because he loves his devotees. He wants to protect his devotees. And he feels anger. Sometimes people may think this is very strange. How can God have anger? He himself says in Gita, Kama krodhas tata laobhas, trivitang narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama krodhas tata laobhas, tasmat etat trayang tyajet. There are three gates to hell, Lord Krishna says. Kam, krodh, lobha. Lust, anger, and greed. So, how can there be anger in God? If it's a demoniac quality. This verse I just recited comes in the description of the asuras in the 16th chapter of Gita. So how has God himself got anger? It may seem it's not a very godly quality. But when he exhibits it, it is godly. When Arjuna didn't want to fight, Krishna, you told him you fight. When Arjuna fights inspired by Krishna, that is a godly quality, because that is for protecting dharma on the order of Krishna. So all of these things, they have to be understood very subtly. If we think, oh, Krishna, he's inciting Arjuna to fight, very bad. But we can't understand Krishna just in a very superficial way. To understand God may take many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavang mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. May take many lifetimes to understand God, even by the gyanavan, even by one who is actually in knowledge. So we shouldn't just dismiss superficially, oh, Krishna's fighting, he must be very bad. Krishna is dancing with the gopis, very bad. But then we see young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavaihi. All the great demigods are praising him, and we will dismiss him just like that? That's not a very intelligent proposition. Jayantaya Namaha. Atishayena Jayati Iti Jayantaha. Here's another meaning. He wins. There are so many conquerors in this world. But he does it in a special way. He wins in a special way. Just like, again, in the Kurukshetra fight, there were so many things he did which no one else could do. Jayadratha should be killed by Arjuna before the sun sets. Oh, the sun has set. Jayadratha is saved. And Krishna tells Arjuna, come on, let's go toward Jayadratha. Arjuna says, no, it's hopeless. The sun has set. Krishna goes on, forward, 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 driving the chariot. Then they see, no, the sun hasn't set. Krishna made an illusion. So now he's within range of the arrow. Now shoot, Jayadratha, finished. No one else can do this. Sometimes the asuras, they can also show some mystic powers. We find that in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, we find Dhruva Maharaj fighting against the yakshas with their mystic powers. But they cannot do the thing that Krishna does. Krishna, in Varaha Rupa, is fighting with Hiranyaksha. Big fight, huge figures. Varaha Dev, just on his tusk, is holding up the whole earth. How big is his form? And Hiranyaksha also, so big fight. And at the end, Varaha just gets the devas, they're telling him, quick, 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 don't delay anymore. Then he just gives him a nonchalant flick, finished. Balaram, Ramaharshan Sutta. One kusha grass, touched it to him, finished. So he does things in a very special way. He comes in this world and shows pastimes which no one can imitate. He's not a remote control God. There's some idea that God is somewhere. Can't see him. He does everything by remote control. No, everything is done personally. In the daytime now, it's very hot. You must have noticed. Everyone notices. It's normal. In April, in Chennai, we don't expect anything but very hot weather. We may say it's due to this and the movement of the sun and this and that, but ultimately it's all controlled by the devas. Now at night there's some wind blowing, becomes a little pleasant, but there's Vayudev is blowing the wind. Everything is personal. It's not just some remote impersonal forces. ultimately, Krishna is behind everything. It's his arrangement. There's nothing ordinary about him, and that's why we're discussing him. We're discussing about Krishna because he is extraordinary. There's another example. Rama, he built a bridge of floating stones to Lanka. Well, he had it built by the army which he had. So many extraordinary pastimes. Another example is given that when everything in the Samudra Mantanam, the churning of the milk ocean, everything seemed to be finished because the mountain, Mandara, had sunk down. But then he came up and he, as Kurama Avatar, he held the mountain on his back. So in this way he facilitated the whole pastime. In this way he conquered over, he showed himself better than all others, which no one else could do, no one could think of. What do you do if you have to use a mountain as the pivot for churning and the mountain sinks down? What are you going to do? Who could have thought of such a thing? That I'm feeling, in the form of Kurma Avatar, he's feeling a little itchy on his back. So you have the whole mountain going back and forward. So in this way, he facilitates the churning of the milk ocean, and at the same time, he's getting a nice scratch on his back. Who can imagine? And therefore, the atheists will say, just all stories. Just all story. Stories, yes, but it's stories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Madhvacharya, he opens up his commentary on the fifth canto of Bhagavatam by the word Jayati. So that has been extrapolated or that has been quoted here to explain how Vishnu is always victorious. And the first way in which he's victorious, he's above all. The first word he uses is Hari Achintya. This verse is very important in our Gaudiya Siddhanta, Achintya. He is above everyone because we can't even begin to work out what he's doing. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that if we are to accept there is God, then we have to accept that we can't understand him fully. To some extent, we can understand him. In Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matas sarvang pravartite iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. Those who understand this, they worship me with all their hearts. So we can understand to some extent. We can understand he is supreme. We can understand that no one can match him, but we can't understand him fully. He is Achintya. So that means he cannot be conquered by the mind. The attempt in the scientific method is to understand everything by the mind. And according to the scientific method, we should not accept anything to be true unless we can understand it through the scientific method. But the very approach to understanding God, seeing Him as Achinta, means that we accept that beyond our mind is that which is superior to us. The basic proposition of the scientific method is that we only accept that which we can observe and understand. And the basic proposition of the spiritual method is that we are dealing in things which we can never fully understand because they're beyond the scope of our limited intelligence. That's why this idea that we'll try to understand everything about God in terms of science, it's a very limited approach because He's unlimited and our intelligence is limited. He conquers us, we don't conquer Him. Then if we accept that, then we can begin to understand Him by His mercy, because matasmriti gyanam apohanam cha. He gives us the intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. He gives us the intelligence by which we can understand Him. But by our own intelligence, without taking His mercy, we cannot understand Him. So we cannot conquer by Him by the mind. He's worshipped by all the powerful devatas, young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divya, Istavaihi. All the great devas, they worship Him. They're very powerful, but they worship Him. He Himself conquers by love. This is how He wants to conquer. If we give our heart to Him, He'll conquer us by His love. If not, then we may have to be conquered by a less desirable method. He has in His hand a lotus. That's very nice, the devotees. They like lotus. But there's also the chakra and the gada. So which we want to get from Him? We want to get the loving touch from His hand, or we want to get the club? We have to decide. He wants to conquer. He's the conqueror. If we become demoniac, He will conquer by His... He will subdue us. By the material energy, we suffer through His material energy. But actually, He wants us to submit to His love. Either way, we are conquered. If we don't submit ourselves to be conquered by His love, then we rebel against Him, and then we're conquered by repeated birth, death, old age, disease. We're going to be conquered because He is supreme. So it's intelligent. First of all, it's intelligent to understand that our intelligence is not enough to come up to His level of intelligence, because He's Achintya. But He's reaching out to us in love. We should reciprocate. Otherwise, birth, death, old age and disease. It's another manifestation of Krishna. By the greatness of His personality, He conquers. We can find in the nectar of devotion all the qualities of Krishna and different descriptions of how He manifests those qualities. He conquers by His attributes. He conquers by His beauty. He has a lotus in His hand, lotus eyes. He's Padmanetra, lotus in His hand. No, Padmahasta, lotus in His hand, and Padmanetra, lotus eyes. Mukharavinda, His whole face is like a lotus. And very famous Kamala Charan, His feet are just like lotuses. Everything about him is very beautiful. So he conquers by his beauty. So in so many ways, he is always victorious. There are so many beauty parlors all over India. I was just told yesterday that the beauty parlors, they're being run by people from the Kashi tribe in Assam. Are they here in Chennai also? Maybe the ladies would know, but our ladies don't go to beauty parlors unless they're getting married. So you can dress up very nicely, but you won't be as beautiful as Krishna. There's only one way to conquer Krishna. He's conquered by love. But he's got a lot of love. So if we want to conquer Krishna, we have to have a lot of love. It may seem difficult for us in this material world because for so many lifetimes we've been practicing not to love. We've been practicing ahammameti paramo. I, me and mine. This is the main way of thinking. We may love. Just like there's some battle going on in Ukraine. The Ukrainian people, they feel more love for each other. Now they're being attacked from outside. So the Ukrainians love the Ukrainians. The Russians love the Russians. Actually, even before this Russian military operation in Ukraine. Did you know there were thousands being killed daily in Ukraine even before that? Did you know? You didn't know. It's not reported in the news. Thousands every day. Cows, pigs, chickens. And then you'll laugh, but the cows, they're not laughing. Slaughter is going on. Now people are very concerned. Oh, the Ukrainians are getting killed. But the Ukrainian cows, pigs, chickens, lambs, ducks, they were being killed. No one cared. Now the humans are being killed. Oh, very bad, very bad. So we love. There was a series of books which became quite famous in the Western world. This was maybe 20 years ago. It was called Chicken Soup for the Soul. So I saw that book, and it was in the office of one of our temple presidents in Russia. Actually, it was GBC. And it's all stories about how people are nice to each other, and they help each other, and they're kind to each other. And the title, what it means is chicken soup. The idea is that your mother, with her love for you, cooks chicken soup. And that goes to your soul. But I thought, that's horrible. You never cooked chicken soup for your children, did you? There's no question of it. You don't even know what chicken soup looks like. I do, unfortunately. So the idea that you're being very loving, just like a mother to the child, by giving chicken soup. But it's not very loving for the chicken, is it? You had to kill a chicken to do that. Here's another thought I had, which is nothing to do with this talk. But we hear about evolutionary theory, Darwin's evolutionary theory, right? And how species evolve so they can survive better. There have been millions of chickens all over the world for generations, right? And they all get killed so people can eat them. So why didn't they evolve so that they, why don't they get enough intelligence to escape from the humans? You'd think they'd think about it, right? The one chicken one day would just fly away. But they don't evolve. They remain as stupid as a chicken and get killed again and again. Anyway, we're off topic. Yeah. It's big news. Russia, Ukraine, and it's been going on for about a month now, so it's becoming boring a little bit. So it's not such a big thing. When they first did it, it's like some kind of entertainment, right? Comes in the news and you look at it. For the people in Ukraine, it's not entertainment. But it goes on in our lives also. There's always someone's trying to show they're better than others and show their power. And then even the husband has to put down the wife and the wife has to put down the husband. And then the children see how far they can get away with being naughty and what they can do and how they can control the parents by crying and this. It's all a struggle for power. From the beginning of life, it's all a struggle for power, to dominate over others and to show we're superior. So who's going to win? Is it going to be Putin or Zelensky? Who can say? So many experts, they're giving their opinions. No one ever heard of Zelensky. He became famous. At least he should thank Vladimir Putin for making him famous. Otherwise, who had heard of him? But anyway, in the course of time, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? What do you think? Who thinks Putin's the good guy? Don't put your hand up if you want a visa for America. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? In course of time, it'll all be forgotten. They're all just servants of Maya. Great hero of the country. It's just all nonsense. They're all like, it's just like flies. Some fly is flying around. It's just nothing. It's just, in next life they will become flies also. This big statue, they put a big statue. In the meantime, some crow comes and passes stool on the statue. And the crow in the previous life was the person who's the statue. It's quite possible. This idea, I will show myself to be very great. It's all nonsense. We're all great conquerors. We conquered over another nation, but we're all conquered by Maya. The great military heroes, all servants of Maya, all conquered by Maya. Okay, let's get to something more blissful. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says that Krishna, in his childhood, sporting with his cowherd boyfriends, they would fight. Children, young boys, they fight as a play. Just like you see the dogs as a play. They chase each other and they bark at each other just like play, especially the puppies. So the young boys, they play and they fight. And Baladev says, both in physical fighting and verbal fighting, Krishna in his childhood Leela was always victorious. Well, Baladev must be on Krishna's side to say that, because actually Krishna is sometimes defeated in play by his cowherd boyfriends. And with the gopis also. It seems, I think the commentators are a bit biased because mostly they're all gopis who have taken birth. But they always seem to show that the gopis always defeat Krishna, ultimately. So Krishna conquers, but not in Vrindavan. When he's God as Vishnu, he conquers. In Vrindavan, it's hard to say. Sometimes Krishna wins and sometimes Radha wins. But Prem always wins. So prem is higher than Radha or Krishna. I remember reading the Nectar of Devotion for the first time, and something really surprised me. He said that God is the greatest, but greater than God is love. I thought, how can something be greater than God? Prem is superior. Satyadevo Vashishta. I'm going on a bit long time. He gives the meaning that Yoho Sarvada Jayati Nakadachit Parajayam Labhata Iti Jayantaha. Jayanta, the simple meaning is he's always victorious and can never be defeated under any circumstances by anyone at any time. That is the complete definition of Jayantaha, the conqueror. But again, it worked. That's true. It's true in this world. It's true in Vaikuntha. It's true in Ayodhya. It's true in Mathura. It's true in Dwarka. But when you get to Vrindavan, all the rules, they go out. He's conquered. He is conquered in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is like the quantum physics. It just all the rules get thrown out and you can't understand it. You can say something about it, but you don't really understand it. So, he makes us victorious also. Who will win in a battle? Ultimately, it's he who has the mercy of God. Rakhe Krishna Marekhe, Mare Krishna Rakhe. You can have all powerful weapons and still lose if you don't have his blessings. And if you do have his blessings, then you will conquer. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanadaraha, Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhutya, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Where there is Krishna, the master of all yogis, and Arjuna. That means we shouldn't just go to Krishna. We have to go to his devotees also. Where we worship both of them together, then there is Shri, then Lakshmi Devi will be there, opulence, victory, morality, all these good qualities will be there. So we should take shelter of Krishna because he conquers, he can protect us. What is the use of going to anyone else when Krishna is there? Whoever we may take shelter of is subject to be conquered by Krishna. So better to take shelter of Krishna. So just as for Krishna, he is always victorious and can never be defeated in any circumstances by anyone at any time. So in the same way, if we take shelter of Krishna, we will never be defeated, we can, under any circumstances, by anyone at any time or in any place, if we take shelter of Krishna. Now, here in this world, there are enemies. When we're talking about conquering, it means there are enemies. What are our main enemies? Oh, I'm giving it away now. We can say, who are our main enemies? Who are the main enemies? Pakistan. Tamil Nadu, you don't bother about Pakistan because it's a long way. But if you're in Delhi, you feel it because you know it's just, isn't it? You're from Delhi. Maybe you don't feel it so much because you're busy watching Bollywood movies. Well, I felt it when I went up to Amritsar and Batala, and you know, the border's just 20 minutes drive away. Amritsar is less than that. And you know, there's no joke, the Pakistan army. And we should be afraid if we have any sense. And I depend on Krishna, but yeah, we should have... You need the Indian army also. In Tamil Nadu, you don't bother because even if they conquer up there, who cares? No one in Tamil Nadu seems to bother about Pakistan, but you feel it the further north you go. But yeah, the real enemy is Kam Krodh Lobh Mohamada Matsarya. And number one enemy is the uncontrolled mind. Therefore, we should take shelter of Krishna by the process of devotional service. Krishna will protect us if we take to the process of devotional service. Coming to a conclusion now, Satyadeva Vashishta quotes from Rig Veda, from the Shruti, where the name Jayanta appears. Jayantam Twam Anumade Soma Devasenanam Abhiba Jayantinam Jayantinam Maruto Yatvagram. So these are some quotations from Shastra. And then another reason, which is he's called Jayanta, which is a completely different meaning altogether, because Jaya also gives the sense of coming into being, Janma. Janma, Jaya. So, just like we have in the Janmadhyasa Sayataha. So, he's also called Jayanta because he makes all living beings in this world come into being. He's the cause of Atishayena Janma Hetu Iti Jayantaha. In various ways, there's Andaja, born from eggs, Shvedaja, born from perspiration, Udbijaja, born from eggs, and then Jarayuja, born from the womb. So they're various ways living beings take birth, and he is the cause of all of that. So there's some meditation on Jayantaha, the conqueror, Lord Vishnu. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha padita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churnakang padayane patyakrit vacha kakushatame tadaham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanamukarona vayang vichare amaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.